Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
There aren't really a lot of people of color in the room. And I'm just like, what's happening? And like, more time went, I was like, I think I'm in the wrong room.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first week tuning in, welcome. It's good to see ya. This is the show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in this wild industry, and I make them share a couple bad and embarrassing and funny audition stories. We have a lot of fun, and it's been a joy making it. So thank you all for tuning in. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to it right now, and leave some love for us as well. You can also follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post some fun graphics, and you even get to see some video clips from the interview. So check that out. And let's get to today's show. We have the fantastic Melody Boutieu. She was so lovely to talk to. I am a new mega fan, big time. She's starring in the brand new feature film Easter Sunday, which is in theaters right now. And this film is literally groundbreaking. It's the first Filipino-focused family film in theaters in the U.S. So go out, get your butt to the theater, get your butt in a seat. Go support this film. It's so great. And Melody and I had such a fun time talking. So here is our conversation. And welcome to the show, Melody.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I am so excited to talk to you. And I'm so excited to talk to you about your new film that's coming out.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, let's go back to the beginning.
All the way
what
back.
What you started in this wild industry.
Oh my goodness. You know, I come from a family of like very over the top, like loves music, loves to, you know, just have a good time, big Filipino family. So my mom was, she loved to sing. She was a big, she was the conductors of the choir. My dad loved to sing. They always loved to dance, stuff like that. But for them, it was always a hobby. And I remember my mom telling a story of how when I was, 3 years old. I don't remember it. I'm just taking her word for it. But she said there was like this big Filipino community picnic in New York City. And she said that I saw the stage and I just ran up on stage and started singing. I was like, I did. And she's like, from the beginning, like, this is what you wanted to do. Mostly it started really with singing. I would like put the big headphones on and pretend I was in a recording studio, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then
as
when
we
I was,
all done.
Yes. And when I was in elementary school, they'd start having the school plays, things like that. And mm-hmm. I would audition and I would read and I would just stumble over the words. I'd had a really hard time reading out loud. And so my teachers all said, they're like, oh, you're not so good at reading, but your voice is really great. So let's give you a solo. So like I would have a feature. I'd get to sing a song, but they just never gave me lines. And then in high school, so I just thought, oh, I'm a singer, you know, I'm bad at the other stuff. But so in high school, I was in choir and I went to Chatsworth High School and I saw this incredible production of Sweeney Todd. It was just mind blowing. And they had a really good theater program. And I had like a conflict in my schedule where I couldn't take choir. So I said, why don't I just sign up for a drama class? And that was kind of the beginning. And it still was in musical theater. I did, you know, Little Shop of Horrors and Jesus Christ Superstar in high school. And then when I was in college, I did start doing more plays. I did start doing more straight plays. I joined this theater company called Here and Now, which even though I was in college, on the weekends, I would travel from San Diego to Pasadena to rehearse. And we would rehearse on the weekends with students from all over Southern California, from Santa Barbara, from USC. And we would create and write and perform these original sketches to perform around the country. So we would perform in colleges and universities all over the country for big Asian American, you know, conferences and things like that. That was like a really kind of pivotal moment of me going, oh, I really like this side as well. And I remember there was one performance we did at Duke University, and one of the pieces I talked about my mom. My mom got sick when I was very young. She got sick when I was in the fourth grade, and was sick most of my childhood, and passed away when I was a teenager. A piece that we had written. Thank you. There was a piece that we had written where I talked about it and just kind of talked about my experience, It was a big auditorium full of students, but I saw this guy just kind of bow his head and like shaking, crying. When we would perform around the country, we would do also kind of workshops, you know, where you pass the clap and, you know, like do little theater games and things like that. Yeah, zip, zap, zop, all of that. And after one of the workshops, he came up to me and he said, you know, my mom passed away a couple of weeks ago and I almost didn't come to this conference. I didn't want to come. And I'm so glad that I came and your story really touched me and made me feel like I was understood. And it was one of those things that just made me go, gosh, you know, just telling my story could really have an effect and help someone feel less alone. And that was, you know, one of those things that just made me see the value of what we do, you know, because I know at the end of the day, we get to play pretend, we get to, you know, follow our passions and tell stories. But to know that, you know, that the work that we do also gets to touch people in that deep way and make them feel connected was so amazing. And
it's priceless. It's priceless that we as artists get to make another human feel something so deeply and so profoundly.
Yeah.
And it's not really a gift that a lot of people get to do in this world. Yeah. So it's really, it's amazing when people find their talent with that and with your story with your mom. I mean, I'm sure that meant so much to that young man to hear your story and your side. And like you said, it makes people feel not alone. And that's what's the beauty of filmmaking and TV is that everyone is going through something that, you know, we have portrayed at some point. Yeah. And it's nice to have that almost like reassurance, like, oh, hey, yeah, that's right. I'm not the first person to go through this and I won't be the last.
Absolutely. And also that, you know, especially when I found this theater company, I was a student at UC San Diego and I saw them perform And I was just like, look at all of these incredible Asian American actors, and they're just telling stories. They're not the side character. They're not the best friend. They're not a servant. Like, they just, and they're telling their own stories. And that was so inspiring to me. And so to be able to then in turn join that group and then do the same thing for other students around the country was really very cool. And I went to UC San Diego for undergrad and grad school. And and then just jumped right in.
Just jumped right in. That's kind of what you got to do, right? Just jump right in. Head first, feet first, whatever it is. Whatever that saying is.
Belly flop, you know, whatever.
Yeah, belly flop for sure. For sure. Totally. So what was like the first television experience that you had as a new actor in Los Angeles?
The first one, oh my gosh, it's been a long time. I believe it was The Practice, which was like the law series. I was playing, I think, an admittance nurse, and someone was coming in to visit a patient, something like that. So it literally was like one of those, and you are, you know, kind of
right. Cute kind little co-star, drop it in there. Yeah, put it on the resume.
Exactly. It's like how I got my SAG card. Yeah, and then, and I've since like still play a lot of nurses. I still, you know, which is great and fine. My mom was a nurse, so you know.
Oh my gosh!
I'm like, it's fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah.
But you've since done like so many television shows. I mean, I was stalking you before getting on here on IMDb, and I was just like, what television show has she not been on since 2002?
Oh my goodness.
And I struggle to find one that you haven't. But I mean, the most recent ones, This Is Us, Kominsky Method, Call Me Cat, Mom. I just want to know, like, what of these, maybe in the last 5 or 10 years, TV roles that you've done has really meant like the most to you? I don't, either as an actor or as a viewer, or you know, whatever connection you had to the show, which one was it that you were like, oh man, I can't wait to do this?
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think. I'm like, okay, which one of, what of, gosh, with TV, I mean, let's see, which, I'm like, which one did she say again? I'm trying to think. You know what was really crazy though? I was so excited about Call Me Cat because it was a really, really fun role. It was like a whiskey taster and critic. And I had this whole like really fun monologue, and we I think it was like, it was an episode where Kat, Mayim Bialik, was pretending to be me. Like, she showed up at this tasting, and she was like looking at name tags, and she's like, oh, I'm her. And then I show up, and you know, I had like a delay in my flight and da da da. But she walks into this party, and everyone thinks she's like this really incredible wine expert, or not wine, whiskey expert. And then I'm supposed to come in and foil it or whatever. So I come in and like I have this whole like monologue where I'm describing the smell of the rent-a-car that I had, and it was really cute. And we did it, and we shot it, and we had a great time, and everyone was like, you were fantastic. And then, of course, it comes time for it to air, and the casting director's like, feel free to share on social media. Your role is coming up. Your episode's coming up. And I'm like, great. And you do the whole blast, and it totally got cut down. It literally was like me just saying my name, and then they were like, oh, we gotta go, and then they ran out.
Oh my god, no.
So it didn't quite answer your question, but it was something that I was so looking forward to that just, you know, just disappeared. They do this
perfect though. That's like the perfect story of, you know, being an actor in the industry. You book something that you're like, heck yes, this is my thing. I got this. This is the best role I've done. And then they just like completely butcher it in post. And you're like, aw.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Which brings us to Easter Sunday,
which is coming out on August 5th. And some people might think, why is Easter Sunday coming out in August? Because we're on Filipino time, so it's fine. It's okay. You can wait a little bit.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. That's how we roll. But Easter Sunday stars Joe Coy, who is a stand-up comic. He is a comedic sensation, really. He's on his Funniest Funny World Tour, has been for the past year, and is selling out stadiums 2-3 times over. I mean, it's insane. And I remember watching his stand-up specials on Netflix. He has 3 on Netflix, and he has another one coming out. And just being so blown away by his storytelling, by his specificity, by his love of, you know, just telling the stories of how he grew up and his family, and feeling so connected to that, that when I heard that a movie was being made, you know, about Joe Coy, that he was making a movie, I was just like, I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be like first in line. I'm so excited.
Gonna be so great in the theaters.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm going to get my popcorn. I'm ready, you know. And then, like, to then be cast in it and to be part of this big, huge, beautiful family with all of our quirks and all of the, you know, the ways that we want to love and celebrate each other, but also the way which we drive each other crazy and have these expectations and all of the things that are wrapped up in family is very, very exciting. This is the first major Hollywood studio film centered around a Filipino-American family. It has a primarily Asian-American cast. We have an Asian-American director in Jay Chandrasekhar. It is breaking barriers and, you know, busting through however many glass ceilings, like just so many. And it's such an incredible moment. I remember even just the first day, like before we even started shooting, like Joe kind of gathered us all together, and he could feel he gets really emotional. For someone who's like, you know, side-splittingly funny and so sharp and so witty, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And he was really emotional about how much it meant to him that we get to tell this story. You know, oftentimes we're told, you know, oh, people aren't going to understand your culture, or they're not going to tell. Like when I first started working professionally, I was told, don't expect to be cast as Filipino because Middle America doesn't know what Filipinos are. They don't know where the Philippines is. So those roles just aren't out there. You kind of look Asian, but not really. Like, as far as, like, I don't look East Asian.
The breakdowns that say ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, you're ambiguous. I'm like, but I'm not ambiguous. I know, yeah. I know who I am, you know. But if they're like, maybe you can change your name to, you know, to something more Spanish, you know, because, and you, maybe you could learn Spanish. Like,
oh my God, then my jaw's on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, right. So then it's like, maybe we'll submit you for these Latin roles, Latino roles. And I'm like, but I'm not, you know. And it was just them trying to like figure out what box they could put me in. And even the Filipinos who were working, you know, Tia Carrere, who plays my mom, she has decades of a career. But oftentimes she was not playing Filipino. You know, Lou Diamond Phillips, I didn't even know he was Filipino for many years.
I had no idea until I was looking up this film. I did not know that he was actually Filipino.
He is Filipino. He's Filipino. And proud of it, you know. But, you know, his breakthrough roles were, you know, La Bamba, Stand and Deliver, Young Guns, all of the, you know. And he has, he's certainly, you know, he honors the roles. He does, you know, even La Bamba, like the whole family, like, endorsed him, you know, they wanted him for this role. So, you know, but we're actors, and we want to feel like we can be chameleons, but we also want to feel like who we are matters, and it's not something to hide, and it's not something to water down. So the fact that we get to share who we are, like this big, beautiful family, and embrace all of the details, embrace all of the idiosyncrasies and the things that make our culture and our families unique. I feel like the more specific we get, the more universal it becomes.
And the more, like, the more, I don't want to say normal because that's the worst word to use for this, but like, I guess the more normal it is for us to see it on our screens, the more regular that this becomes, the more like realistic too. Absolutely. I mean, when I was watching the trailer, and I have a couple of friends who live in South Korea, in Seoul. And they're from large Filipino families, and it's, you know, a lot of the stuff is like they send things back to their families in the Philippines.
Yeah,
Pasalubong. And it was part of the trailer, and I was like, Balikbayan box. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I've watched this. I've witnessed this. Like, I know these people, and I've had the experience of being at a big family dinner and the wild things. And it's so nice to see, because I think Filipinos have this amazing, like, y'all have like this incredible family spirit that is so beautiful to see, like, generational wise. Yeah. And I think it's something too that gets lost in Americans a lot of the time. And I talk about this with my friends a lot, because I feel like generational living and all of that just isn't a thing in America, right? But in like all of the other countries around the world, people want to be with their family.
Yeah, that the whole concept of it takes a village is our day to day. You know, it's not just that your mom comes when there's a newborn, you know, and comes help, you know, for a few weeks or whatever. It's like especially for me with my childhood and my circumstances, when my mom got sick, my grandparents came out from the Philippines. My aunt came out from the Philippines. They were there. They were living with us. They were cooking. They were taking care and making sure, you know, they were taking care of her. They were taking care of us. And we didn't have a lot, you know, when my mom got sick, we went into a lot of debt, you know, the whole medical system and everything. We were broke, you know, we were relying on the kindness of strangers. We were relying on the church donating and bringing us food when we needed it. And that kind of thing. And it was, You know, we were on food stamps, all of those things. And my, yeah. and my, but my family, they never made us feel like that. You know, yeah, we would shop at, you know, Goodwill or, you know, things like that for our clothes and things like that. But we never, we always felt like we were provided for, and our family, mm-hmm. our extended family was a huge, huge part of that. You know, they would yeah. take that government cheese or that government butter and make ensamada, you know, and like fill the right. house with like food and make us feel cared for and provided for. But it is that culture of like, oh, no, we're there. Like, what do you need? Yeah. You know, how can we
here,
take care of
there.
You?
We're not going to leave until it's done or until something's solved or ever. Because why?
Yeah. I mean, just generations all under a roof. I mean, my auntie, she had my cousin and she wasn't, I don't remember the reasons why, but she wasn't able to take care of him for the first few years of his life. Mm-hmm. And then he was with us. He was like our little brother, you know? And then, you know, when he was a little bit older, she was able to bring him back and he was able to go back. But I mean, you know, he's still like my little brother and it's just like, all right, we got you. What do you need? You know, it's that kind of mentality with a big Filipino family.
And I love that, like you said, like Joe Coy decided to do a film based in his roots of a Filipino family, not some big action movie or anything like that. Anything else he could have done.
Yeah.
He said, no, let me show you my people. Let me show you my culture. Let me show you how loving and how caring and how wild we all are. I mean, I just think it's such a beautiful thing that he chose to do that with this voice that he was given. And now you all get to show the world how amazing the Filipino culture is.
Yeah, it's such a gift. I mean, yeah, exactly. He could have pitched anything. He could have been the center, and he still is. It is still his story. It's about him and his son, but it is about the family. It's about the people. It's mm-hmm. about all of us together. And it created an opportunity for all of us to bring our collective histories, to bring, you know, our experiences and what we know into this story to create these big, beautiful, full characters. You know, we were talking about stereotypes and being typecast mm-hmm. and thing. And I was having this conversation with Martha Milan, who's in The Cleaning Lady on Fox, which is centered around another Filipino family. And mm-hmm. that, you know, is a drama. And yes, they are playing maids, but you see not just them coming in and, you know, cleaning a shelf and then walking out, you know, or
it's not just that good day, sir. And then like leaving.
Yeah. It's like, so-and-so is here to see you. Like she, you get to see a full life. You get to see her kids. Yes. You get to see what she's working for, what she's struggling with, her survival, her tactics, you know, all of those things that help. I mean, and that's a dream. You know, who you don't grow up thinking, oh, I can't wait to play a maid, but to play a character that's rich and full, and you get to see mm-hmm. all the different colors and all the range of their life experience, that's a dream. That's a gift, you know. And so for us, you know, we get to celebrate. We get to, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans in this movie. There's some craziness that happens, but Joe said, you know, he didn't want to go for the cheap jokes. He wanted the audience to laugh with us, to laugh at with our circumstances, as opposed to laugh at us and make us the butt of the joke or make the accent the butt of the joke. You know, because people have accents. And I mean, my character speaks with an accent. Some of my favorite people in the world speak with accents. So I'm not shying away from it, but I want to honor it. And I want to know that, you know, people with accents have a full lived history. They've given up an entire life that they knew to start somewhere else. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's, you know, there are things to celebrate in that. And then, so you see the generational, you see in the family, you see people who are born here, people who, you know, don't speak with an accent, and then people who do. But we all are striving and wanting the best for one another.
Gosh, I can't wait to see this. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay. Okay, well, on the show, we like to share bad audition stories or funny ones or embarrassing ones or the one that got away. Is there a story that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, okay, there is. So this is this is the first thing that came to mind when I was like, oh, I got to think of an audition story. So years and years ago, when I first started, a lot of the networks were doing diversity showcases and holding auditions, which was great and needed because it gave underrepresented people an opportunity to get in front of casting directors and be considered for things. And so I was all for it. And I had a manager who at the time who was the kind who would just submit her actors for things, even if they weren't quite right for it, maybe thinking that it was, you know, would give casting a chance to think outside the box or something like that. I'm not sure. So she called me and she's like, I have an audition for you for a diversity showcase. We're so excited. And I'm like, great, you know, and I walk in and I'm ready and I'm excited. And I see some actors kind of file in, actors with different abilities. So one was blind and one was an amputee. And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, okay. So this is like a really wide diversity showcase. Like it's also including people with different abilities. Great. You know? Yeah. And I'm like, there aren't really a lot of people of color in the room. And I'm just like, what's happening? And like more time went, I was like, I think I'm in the wrong room. Like, what is going on? And I had signed in and everything, and the interns coming in and out and like, you know, bringing people in for their auditions. And I'm still not seeing any people of color. And I'm just like, so the next time she came out and I was like, hey, this is for the diversity showcase. Yes. And she's like, oh yeah, this is for the diversity showcase. I'm like, great. Is it for people of color too, or just people with different abilities? She's like, oh, it's for people with disabilities. And I was like, I don't have a disability. And she's like, oh, hang on a minute. And she went back to the room to the casting director and then came back out. She's like, yeah, so this is a showcase for people with disabilities, but we'll still see you if you want. And I was like, oh no, like no, that's okay. Oh my God. That's fine. Thank you though. And I like gathered my things and I'm like, oh my gosh, with my tail between my legs, and I'm getting ready to go out. And there's an actor sitting across from me and he was like, hey, you leaving so soon? And I was like, oh yeah, I think they called me in, but I'm not supposed to be here. And he was like, oh, okay. I was like, but have fun, break a leg. And he goes, well, I only have one. And I was like,
oh my God.
He was so gracious. He was totally laughing, but I was just like, my face fell.
it's like a series of just embarrassing things. And then you just tapped it with the cherry as you were leaving.
Absolutely. Just that's my button, you know, as I'm getting out.
Wait, so did you call your manager? Did you say like, hi, this was not for me?
No, of course I did. And I don't even remember what she said. It was so long ago. And it was just like, oh, I don't know. They said, I submitted you and they called you in. I'm like, yeah, but why would you submit me for this type of showcase?
Like, right. Of course they called you in. Like, you could have had any sort of ability that they could not see on a headshot.
On a headshot. Yeah. But if you submit me for this, then they're going to think. They're going to think, yeah. Okay, great. Oh my goodness.
I cannot believe that. Break leg. Well, I heard I only have one. Oh, no.
I did it.
What a great guy, though.
He was lovely.
Oh, my God. Whoever you are, if you're listening to this, I love you. Wow. That's a solid story right there.
There you
that's
go.
A solid one.
There you go. Good.
Well, I have so enjoyed. Because I know you hear them a lot. I do, but that's a great one. I've had so much fun talking to you. Where can people follow you on social media to stay up to date with all your things?
That's right. Okay. So on Twitter, I'm Melody Boutiou. So that's MelodyBoutiou. I don't tweet as much as I'd like to. I sometimes retweet, and then oftentimes my Twitter is just like, Melody posted something on Instagram. So, you know, there you go. I'm most active on Instagram, but even then, I don't know. I don't do the reels. It's all new to me still. Some of the,
you know,
the
what?
New functions.
I'm trying to do the reels. I'm trying to do it. But hey, I saw your Instagram. You were looking fire at the premiere, girl.
Thank you
fire.
So much. Thank you. So I was good. So grateful. Sky JT Naval was my stylist. Caitlin Krentz,
we
makeup.
Love it all out.
Yeah. So, love so excited. So grateful. So on Instagram, it's I am the Melody Boutiou. So, yeah.
Yeah. She is the one.
That's right.
Well, I've so enjoyed talking to you, and I can't wait to see all the doors that this movie opens for you, because I feel like it's going to, and I think, you know, I just pray that this is the film that brings Filipino life into mainstream media, because it's so needed. And
I love
thank
it.
You so much for sharing your stories. I mean, I feel like you really opened up to me, and I'm really thankful for that.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate this conversation. It was so great talking with you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your patience. with the technical stuff.
Thanks again to Melody for coming on the show. It was so fun talking with her. Make sure to catch Easter Sunday in theaters right now. And tune in next week. We have Bill Kelly on the show, who you can see right now in Where the Crawdads Sing, another awesome film in theaters. So go check that out before next week's episode. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure you're subscribed and leave us some love. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before, because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.